Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this day. We have a, a very fast-paced conversation that we're going to be sharing in today. And I do want to welcome everybody out there. God bless your hearts. We're so glad that you're tuning in today. I'm going to begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and that's where we're going to begin our broadcast today. And so I'm just going to read a few of these words, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on some of my reading dudes here. All right, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we live or die, wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. All right, so in the very first place we're going to launch out today is in the instructions of the Apostle Paul to the Church of Thessalonica, which seem to be very important instructions for you and I today. He's talking about a climate in the world that is going to be rather difficult. and that there would be a great destruction that would come suddenly upon the world, and that God's people were not to be taken off guard. We were not to be overtaken by this moment of darkness that will come upon the face of the earth. And there's a particular silver lining through which the scriptures are going to be spoken today. And that silver lining is what I want to talk about next, because I just want you to get the climate right now and the climate of the times that Paul was referring to. And again, the Holy Spirit, who has been at the beginning, will be at the end, was with Paul and his generation and has been with the ecclesia for the last 2,000 years from generation to generation. But in these last days, in our global reality, since Israel has become a nation, since technology has exploded, and all this end time Bible prophecy is revealing that we are that final generation. We're not afraid to say that. We're not ashamed to say that. We're not being sensational when we say that. We simply believe that all the signs of the times are taking place, but something unique to the last 2,000 years that has never been before, and that is the Daniel 12 prophecies, where, again, technology explodes, people will be traveling all over the world, Israel has become a nation, the final fig tree prophecy generation. And so we're looking into these things, and what Paul is telling the ecclesia to his generation and by the Spirit to ours is that we are to be watching, we are to be sober, we are not to have the darkness overtake us, the sudden destruction to overtake us. We are a unique, separated, set apart people for the Lord. We are Christians living in a world that is spinning out of control right now. Our job maintains and remains to be salt in the earth and light in the world. That's who we are. That's what we do. The purpose of that salt and light is to win souls for the kingdom of God. To that, there is no doubt. But we are also being told that when times like these come, we need to know how to further respond. And so Paul is giving us these incredible instructions. But I want to take you to some very devastating times, biblically speaking, where God gives a very specific instruction for your life. And what you and I want is to know exactly how we are to respond and live at a time when we realize the darkness is coming, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the masses, and there is a sudden destruction that will come upon the world system. So where do we go from here? I want to go to Revelation chapter 13, but I want to pick it up in verse 10. Revelation 13, 10. I just want to read one verse of scripture in Revelation 13, 10. And here's what we read. You know the story in Revelation 13. You know it's all about the great tribulation. You know that Revelation 13 is right there. It's what we are marching towards right now. It's what we are moving towards. I believe we are already in the beginning of sorrows. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But we're marching towards this Revelation 13, great tribulation period of time. And yet here is what the word of the Lord is to the saints. In Revelation 13:10, it says, "He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Now, in Revelation chapter 14, the next chapter, beginning in verse 12, we read basically the same thing. We read of a time where the wrath of God is being poured out, and those who receive the mark of the beast, let's put it in context. Let's just read out of verse 9, Revelation 14, 9. Now, Revelation 13, we just saw that the beast is coming to make war with the saints. You know, all those scriptures prior to verse 10, it's talking about a lot of devastating effect and events that will be taking place. Now, in Revelation 14, beginning in verse 9, here's a little backdrop. It says, "The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Then, in verse 12, we read these words. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So, in Revelation 13:10, it says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In Revelation 14:12, again, here is the patience of the saints. So what is this talking about? What is this patience? Let's look at it just a little bit. I want to go into some of my, and this is awesome. You get to look at the word patience. So the word patience in both cases is a word, it's a Greek word, and it is the hypomone, all right? And here's the definition. The definition, and it's hupomone, is the Greek word, hupomone. Now listen to this. In Revelation 13 and in Revelation 14, people are receiving a mark in 14. The beast is warring against the saints. There's a lot of killing going on. The atmosphere is rank. There's no doubt when you really get behind the scenes and see what's happening. But in both cases, and there are many others leading up to the book of Revelation, but I chose those two, the exhortation to the saints is to keep your patience. Now, here's the word. Here's what it means. The word patience means cheerful, or hopeful endurance. Constancy, okay? And it comes to a deeper Greek word. I like the cheerful, hopeful endurance. In other words, when these things are going on and people are being swayed by them, people are being moved by them. And in just a moment, we're going to talk about the next wave that's coming upon the shores of America, which is going to be anarchy. There's no doubt we're going to see rioting. We're going to see a lot of stuff. And while this is all happening around and about us, and we're living in the midst of that atmosphere around us, we shouldn't be moved by it. The problem would be getting involved with it. All right? So the scriptures are saying to the believers, here is patience. So it's hopeful, cheerful, endurance, but it also moves into this word here. And this is the hupomeno, same, almost the very same thing, but it's a little bit more sober. It means to stay under or stay behind. It means to remain. It means to undergo or bear a trial. It means to have fortitude and persevere. It means to abide, to endure. But the idea, stay under. Don't allow the atmosphere, and I'm going to tell you right now, the atmosphere will be charged. And there will be a magnetic provocation to draw out of all mankind in the hour that is coming that base nature, that thing that is there in the Adamic human nature that has not been eradicated by the cross because of their lack of faith. You need to understand that the ability of Adam to restrain himself is going to come to an end. Because the powers of darkness are creating an atmosphere where it's going to draw many people into it. But the word of God says to you and I, here is patience. Now, we must be patient and not move prematurely in this hour. That's the word of the Lord to the saints. We must keep watch over our minds and souls and flesh. Now, one of the favorite scriptures of my beloved wife, Patricia Joy, is found in Luke chapter 21. And we've all been to Luke chapter 21 many times, but verse 19, Luke 21, 19, very powerful scripture, especially in light of what we're talking about. And here's what we read. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. That's verse 18, Luke 21, 18. Verse 19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. In our patience, we will possess our souls. We will take hold of them. We will have a watch, a guard. We will literally keep ourselves from entering into the fray, whether it be entering in that spirit of anarchy, civil unrest, or whether it be partaking of the fear because of the climate that will be there. You and I cannot engage what we are about to see happen on this earth. You and I cannot enter into it mentally, emotionally, soulically, spiritually, or physically. You and I are being called in Scripture to stay behind. We are being told to go low, have fortitude, persevere, endure with cheerful hope that this too shall pass. However, if we were to engage mentally, emotionally, we will be ill-affected. So what I'm saying to you is, while we are realizing because of the biblical reality of what is happening in America and the world in our generation, you are about to see things take place that television cannot provoke. I mean, what you've seen on TV will pale in comparison to the reality that you're going to see hit this earth, okay? However, don't enter into it. Stay behind. Don't move into it. Don't allow the crackling atmosphere of what is coming to have any influence or impact in your life. You be about your Father's business. You go out to save souls. You do and preach the gospel. You warn the wicked. You live your life in the love of Christ. Don't allow yourself, saint, to engage in what is coming. Why? Here's what's coming. Civil unrest is the next wave. Anarchy is part of that. The next wave, and we've been talking about four waves that are going to hit. One is right now cresting. The next is going to come. You're seeing a preview in Michigan right now where thousands of people wrapped themselves in the American flag and they started shouting out against the governor of Michigan. You're seeing the preview once again in this next phase of the anarchy that is going to hit the United States of America, the civil unrest. You're going to see rioting and terrorism. And whether that it is Islamic terrorism, domestic terrorism, you know, roaming gangs terrorism, terrorism is going to hit. So the climate in our nation is going to shift from this passive lockdown in quarantine to willful citizens to something that's going to aggravate and frustrate their senses, like you're seeing in Michigan. You need to know this environment is going to be supercharged, and it's going to come immediately. I mean, this is not going to be long off. This is the next wave in the set of four that are coming. Terrorism shall explode, okay? So civil unrest, anarchy, rioting, and terrorism shall explode like a nuclear bomb as Adam's race will no longer have the ability to restrain. Need to understand that. Right now, there's restraint. Very mild, but it's going to, because a people in Adam's race that don't have the divine nature in them, the people in Adam's race that don't have the cross to slay that lower nature, there's no way they're going to be able to restrain. Good people are going to change to really bad people. You need to understand that if there's not the protective hedge of the blood of Jesus, the power of the cross, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit in the life of an individual, what is coming by the adversary, Satan, and when he stirs this up, there's not going to be the ability to restrain in Adam's race. So this is like an Adam, A-D-A-M, an atom bomb, and that is ticking right now. Adam, the human nature of Adam is like a ticking time bomb. So this is an atom bomb, and most likely this is going to bring about a detonation of the Adamic human nature, which will actually lead to nuclear weapons, atomic bombs, whether that is just terrorism in this country and other nations around the world, or nuclear World War III. It's all going to follow. Everything is going to move, and it's going to begin with the civil unrest. Dmitry Dudeman, the prophet from Romania, told us in his writings that what would happen that in America's last days is that there would be civil unrest, and the government would be preoccupied with dealing with the civil unrest. And that's when outside nations would see their moment of opportunity to pounce. And that's when we would get into World War III. So we're not speaking out of turn here. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. We've been wondering, what is the next wave going to bring? It's going to be this civil unrest, this anarchy, rioting, terrorism, a ticking time bomb within Adam's race where we're going to throw off restraint. People will. Now, the Christian, you who are born again, who have the divine nature, who have the power of the cross to slay that old human Adamic nature and the Holy Spirit to keep you restrained, you're going to go low. You're going to have fortitude. You're going to endure with cheerful, hopeful expectation that you're going to get through this. You're not going to step into the environment. You're not going to entertain a spirit of fear. You're not going to get involved in any way with what's going on in the world. You're going to be taking care of business as you are a separated people unto the Lord. You need to know this. We cannot say that these bad things won't come. We know this isn't good news. We know that. But God forbid that we would deny it. God forbid that we would be quiet concerning it. We must declare what the Word of God declares. And I'm going to show you in a moment what I'm telling you has happened before, and it's going to happen again. But this time it's going to be supercharged because of the times that we are in these last days. Now, is this a bleak picture? Yes. Is it a biblical picture? Yes. To both, okay? What will come in the context of this civil unrest, the anarchy, the rioting, and the terrorism that will explode like a nuclear bomb is martial law, all right? When the national emergency, we talked about this, and it is a fact that all 50 states right now have declared an emergency. That is the potential for FEMA to step in and take control. Now, I'm not sure if the president has to yield those powers or if they just take that power. I'm under the impression that the president would have to yield those power to FEMA according to Jimmy Carter's 1979 Executive Order 12148. It's real. It's there. And this is the climate in which it would be given. So when right now there's restraint, the president's not handing the power over, and the FEMA's not taking possession of power, but with the next wave, with the civil unrest, the anarchy, the rioting and terrorism, there will be martial law, and most likely the surrendering of the power of the presidency to the military powers of Homeland Security and FEMA, and then we'll see arrests everywhere. You're going to see martial law. A friend of mine called us last night. She took a 15-minute nap. In her nap, she saw military trucks everywhere in the city streets of America. And there are going to be arrests. There are going to be persecution is going to begin. Now, I want to say this. The Lord reminded me, and Christian, beware. You need to understand this. The fires of Rome. Back in 60-some-odd A.D., what happened? Caesar Nero, blamed the Christians for the fires in Rome, and thus a persecution began. Adolf Hitler blamed the Jews for the condition of Germany. But in the new world order that is coming, both will be blamed and the persecution will begin. You need to understand that. And when that begins, you have to maintain your patience, your endurance, your going low and having a mind that a fortitude to endure what is coming, and hope to God that you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, so that that hedge of protection, that Goshen reality, will be over your family, over your home, over your place of dwelling, so that by the time the 3.5-year Great Tribulation is underway, that you are being kept by God in a wilderness experience, and God will protect you to the very end. The Bible promises in Revelation 12 that God will take the woman into the wilderness for 3.5 years and will nourish her and take care of her. I believe this will happen for those who possess their souls through their patience. Anybody that steps into the environment mentally, emotionally, physically, you get engaged in what's going on in this world and you're going into the Great Tribulation. You're going to feel the persecution, and whatever that is, imprisonment, whatever it is going to happen. Here is the patience of the saints to lay low mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and stay with Jesus, very close to Jesus, and not entertain, again, panic, worry, concern, fear. You have already prepared. You should continue to prepare, and that is a reality. We have been saying this for many, many years, but not only saying it, we have been preparing and doing what we say. So we're not just a bunch of people saying, hey, you better go out and buy some food, you better prepare. No, we have done it and we can't even talk about it. And so we're going to let it go. But I'm telling you, you need to be prepared. You need to be with a body of believers that are not full of fear, that are not worldly. Because if you're being worldly, if you're compromised, if you're lukewarm in this hour, you're going to be led astray. Your flesh is going to take you to places you don't want to be. And it will take you into self-serving, selfishness. It'll take you into betrayal. You'll begin to lose your love. It'll wax cold. You'll begin to hate your brothers and sisters that you walked with. You need to examine the conduct and character of the people you're around to make sure that your church or the people in your community, that they are real, that they're the real deal. That is imperative, that you're walking with people that are of like mind and who are like you, working out your salvation with fear and trembling, casting off the old man, putting on the new man, getting rid of the old nature, putting on the new nature, walking in the fruit of the Spirit. This is imperative. If you're around people that are full of fear, get away from them. Get away from people that are full of fear. Get away from people that are lukewarm, compromised. They love the world. Get away. Love them, but get away from them. They are going to bring you down and cause your experience to be more harsh than it needs to be. Now, satanic rituals are going to rise. This is going to be a brutal reality for a lot of people when you see that this stuff that's going on is not just a big mistake. It's satanic. It is all very satanic. And Satan, you don't get any more satanic than Satan himself. So the satanic reality and the ritual of those who are going to worship him, and you know in Revelation chapter 11 that there will be the whole world, the nations of the earth, everybody on the planet whose names are not written in the book of life will be worshiping Satan. The atmosphere is going to be very satanic. That's why it's imperative you don't even stick your toe in that environment. This is key right now. The evil one is going to show his face. Yes, in the context of what's going on, and this blew me away as I was writing this, the evil one is going to show his face, Diablo unveiled. Wow. When I read in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan and his angels are cast down to the earth and they are full of fury and they begin the 3.5-year great tribulation, the word of the Lord is that Diablo is going to be exposed, the man of sin, the son of perdition. People are literally going to see the satanic that they've been fighting in the spiritual realm manifest on this earth. And you cannot be moved by what you see coming. So we have been in the beginning of sorrows, biblically speaking, for quite some time now. We've seen the earthquakes and the pestilence and the famines. We've seen the commotions and the troubles and the instability. We have seen all of the scriptural reference to the beginning of sorrows take place. Now the pangs increase. That's the word of the Lord. The beginning of sorrows is always in reference to a woman in travail when she begins to have her birth pangs. Those birth pangs have been around us all over the world and in this country for quite some time. They've manifested in different ways, but now the Spirit says the pangs are ready to increase. Major labor pains are coming. A nation in travail, nations travailing. A church laboring to bring forth the man-child or the sons of God. So the beginning of sorrows, the birth pangs have begun already. You could feel them. You could see them. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, you know it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're blind. You cannot see. You do not understand. You have been deceived. Bottom line, the only way to know the truth about this moment is to have the Holy Spirit. So let me just reiterate for a moment what we've been talking about this morning. We started out once again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me read it one more time. And this is what is kind of launching us into our conversation this morning. And here's what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, many of you know that you have heard the President of the United States say on more than one occasion, we were doing great. We had the best economy in the world. We were doing fabulous. And then suddenly this invisible enemy has come. It's a preview. Do you understand? Bible prophecy is literally being spoken before our eyes and before in our ears are hearing what they're saying. So you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, the only way this day is going to overtake anybody as a thief is if we allow ourselves to move into the climate or the atmosphere or the environment that is being created. Listen, you will be fine if you possess your soul in this hour. If I were to get unnerved by what is coming, and I were to entertain or step into a spirit of fear, or I would take up a weapon and get involved with the anarchy that I see, if I were to get involved in any of that, I'm going into the great tribulation. I guarantee it. No matter how much I think I love God, no matter how much I profess to love God, if I do not possess my soul and stay under, I'm going into it. And so will you. It's not that you won't be saved. I hope during the great tribulation, when we see in Revelation chapter 7, an untold multitude of saints that come out of great tribulation having washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. I hope that would be the best side of that moment. I don't want to go into the great tribulation. I don't want it to touch my life. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to happen. So the way out is to stay in patience, hopeful, cheerful endurance, not to prematurely get involved with what's going on in the world. I think these are righteous instructions. You could be a young man, a young woman. You could be a mother, a father, a grandmother, grandfather. You need to possess your soul. It is imperative. And how do you possess your soul? Luke 21:19. Through patience. Through your patience, you will possess your soul. How do you begin to do that? Do you wait for the last minute when the big kahunas will come? No. You do that every day around the people that you're with. Somebody, you know, eggs you on. Somebody frustrates you. Somebody has an unkind word. You stay low. You don't bite the bait. You don't engage the argument. You practice keeping yourself under, and you recognize when you're being drawn into some conflict that that is an opportunity that God has given you. So you joyfully look at it and go, no, I'm not taking that bait. I'm not going into that conversation. I'm going to right now use this to possess my soul, and I'm going to war to do it because I know it's God's boot camp for what's ahead. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the last thing I was talking about here was that while the nation that we live in, America, is in travail, and the nations are in travail, the ecclesia is also in travail to bring forth the man-child. Jesus Christ is the firstborn Son of God. He will always maintain preeminence, but the Bible says He's the firstborn of many brethren, and that He is bringing many sons to glorification. It's not good enough to be justified. It's not good enough to be sanctified. The idea of the Father in these last days is to bring forth the glorification of the sons of God, which means that we've gone from justification to sanctification to glorification. That means that we have become huios, not little technon children, but the huios, sons and daughters of God, have the same element of maturity that the firstborn son had by the Holy Spirit. This is the sons of God, the mature huios, are led by the Spirit of God. Many in the church go in and out. Sometimes we're led by the Spirit, other times we're not. That is not good enough. God wants to bring sons, meaning non-gender, to glorification, Christ-likeness, full maturity, to work and walk with God in these last days. When you're a huios, you don't need to be worrying about a pre-tribulational rapture. When you're a huios, you're walking like Jesus did in the midst of the Roman Empire with a Sanhedrin of religious people, with all this stuff going around, demonic possession, but there is Jesus. The mighty storms, but there is Jesus. Sickness and disease, but there is Jesus. And there you will be if you allow the Spirit to take you from the guttermost to the uttermost, from the justification realm through the sanctification of the Spirit realm into the glorification realm. God is laboring, the church is laboring to bring forth the many-membered sons of God in these last days. So many people think, well, that's in the afterlife or during the millennium. No, that is here and now that the ecclesia, and how does the church, how does the church labor? The apostle Paul said, remember this, he was an apostle. He was a member of the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And in Galatians 4:19, Paul says, "Oh, little children, in whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." See, he had the apostolic reality, the fivefold ministry to the church to bring it up into Christ-likeness. He travailed. And so the travailing of Zion, the travailing of the ecclesia, should be in the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, should be laboring to bring forth a manifestation of Christ in every member of the body of Christ. That is what we should be preoccupying our time with. That is what we should be focusing on. We know what is coming. Now equip the church. Equip the saints of God. Bring forth the manifestation of the glory of a fearless remnant of overcoming army of Almighty God living in this world while all these things are happening. That is, ladies and gentlemen, the word of the Lord today as I understand it. I believe this is happening. I believe this is coming. I don't believe it's being sensational. I don't believe it's hyper-sensationalizing anything. In fact, I want to go to a number of scriptures here, and I want to just remind you, and I'm going to have to go to my computer to get these scriptures because this page has been completely obliterated out of my Bible. But I do want to get to 2 Peter chapter 2. So if you'll turn there with me, 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were. Okay, so here we go. Let's read this. I'm going to open this wide open. And I want to get to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's just read a little bit, okay? And I'm going to actually bring this some Strong's definition if we need it. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Now here's another apostle. This is the apostle Peter. And Peter is speaking to the ecclesia. And here's what he says. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. In context, biblical context, false prophets 90% of the time refer to the prophets that were prophesying peace and safety to an unholy people, to a rebellious people, to a people that had abandoned the Lord, and yet the false prophets would make merchandise of the people by telling them smooth things, peace and safety, when in fact the righteous judgment of God was coming upon them. This is the majority of the times that takes place. Other false prophets are pretenders. They are not real. They are not by the Holy Spirit of God. They are masks. They are pretenders. Verse 4. Now listen, this is Peter the apostle writing to you and I. He says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So Peter's saying, I want you to remember this, okay? This is God. You know, today they've changed God, but the new covenant apostle is reminding the people that God that was then is the God that is now. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. All right? So in the climate, in the environment, the atmosphere that we live in right now, in this country, since Barack Hussein Obama in 2015 just inaugurated the homosexual agenda by lighting up the White House with the rainbow colors, that was such blasphemy. Okay, that environment existed before, but it's now crackling, right? It was once an abomination and against the law to commit such sins within our nation, no more. So we go on. He delivered just Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. We're seeing that day manifest all around me. He goes on in verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. That's not talking about unholy government. It's talking about the government of God if you do a word study on it. Presumptuous are they. This is talking about the Romans 13 government. And go study what that Romans 13 government of God really is. It's not people that promote evil. It's people that put terror in those who would commit evil. Understand Romans 13 very clearly. It says also, they despise government. They're presumptuous. They are self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, you could just go on down the list here. And what we're looking at is an environment. Okay, we're looking at environment. So what I'd like to do right now is, we've been on the air for 45 minutes, is open the telephone lines, first of all, on Blog Talk Radio. And if you happen to be tuned in to Blog Talk Radio and you're already listening, just press 1 on your dial pad and I'll take you into the phone conversation. If you're listening, I see a lot of friends out here in Facebook and YouTube. God bless everybody. Good morning once again to Sharon and Sonia and Brenda and George and Michael. God bless you both and all of you. Lino Di Nicola. Praise the Lord for Lino Di Nicola. We bless you, Lino. Sounds like you may be from Italy. Only God knows. I guess BTS is, I am from Iraq. Hello, BTS from Iraq. Another call I cannot make out because it's in the Arabic. It says, hi. Hello to everybody out there in the Middle East. And Gary Austin, all the way from Washington. Good morning, Gary. God bless you. And again, we're saying hello to Angelina. Shalom, Angelina. And also to, we've already said hello to Brenda. So if you have questions or comments right now about what you heard for the last 45 minutes, we'd love to hear from you. So maybe somebody doesn't agree with what we're saying. Listen, we are wide open to hear the reasons why you think what we're saying is not correct. So if you are listening to this broadcast and you're going, I don't like what he's saying, and what he's saying is wrong, I would love for you to call into this broadcast and share your thoughts why. Because again, we're not moving by our opinions here. Now, someone may say, well, you know, Pastor Vince, we're to be peacemakers. And I agree, blessed are the peacemakers. But I don't believe we're in the climate, even though we should always be at peace with as much as lieth within us. The Word of God says, be at peace among yourselves and do everything to keep the peace with your neighbor and the world around you. We should. That's a part of possessing your soul and staying low. That does not negate what God is revealing is going to happen. You see, it's happened before, and it's happened within the context, our nation and other nations. We've seen civil unrest, but the explosion now is going to become greater than ever before. So we're not saying something that's never been. We're looking at it. We're witnessing it by the Spirit and through the Word of God as we look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times. We're not just thrusting gloom and doom, because our whole idea by the Holy Spirit is to equip the saints of God, to prepare the saints of God to walk through this moment, to keep the saints of God moving in the right direction. All right, waiting for your call. Waiting for your call. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. What I want to say right now, I'm going to shift for just a moment while we wait for the calls to come in. By the way, if you would like to call, maybe you're listening on Facebook or on the YouTube, and you'd like to make some verbal comments, the voice of many waters speaking into this moment, the number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. I want to just boast in two people that have, and again, this is now shifting into the economy of heaven. So if you talk about what's going on in the world and God's saying, don't participate in that. And now he shows us the things that we can participate in that are kingdom. We talked about we are in and we're coming to the very end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but we have been in the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and we, to boot, have been counting the Omer. Today is the seventh day of the counting of the Omer. So in the economy of heaven, there are intrinsic things that are very valuable to our development and cultivation as far as becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus at work. And I mentioned a couple of days ago about the first of the first fruits offering and Exodus chapter 23, the provision of God, the benefit, the blessing of those who would cooperate with their first of the first fruit offering. And it was amazing. God would be an enemy to our enemies, an adversary to our adversaries. He would bless our food and water and keep sickness away from us. It was powerful. And we had two people that actually responded by giving gifts to the ministry. One was a $100 gift. The other was a $400 Passover offering. And I want you to know that we are waving that offering before the Lord, and we will not cease to pray that the benefit and the blessing of your first of the first fruits offering will not carry you all the way through the year with an incredible harvest internally of the righteousness of your own existence and the blessings that will accompany it in every one of your needs being met according to the riches of God's glory. And we will not stop praying until that goes forth, and we bless you who gave those amazing offerings. In the context of a first fruits offering, in this actual moment, I would tell everybody, get involved in it. Make sure that you have given to your pastor or to the church you go to, wherever you're being fed, give your first of the first fruits offering in honor of the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He shares it with the ministers. That's how God takes care of the altar and those who minister at the altar. And it's a great blessing to them, but get your offering into the Lord. It'll set the stage for the entire year. We've got a number of calls coming in right now, and I just wanted to say thank you for those of you who did, and there are ways we'll share with you how you could give your first of the first fruits offering. Let's begin today with our first call coming in from 858-864. Patricia Joy Xavier, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Patricia, we are not hearing you. We're not hearing you. I don't know if you're on mute. We've got you on an open mic right now, but we're not hearing you. So, nope, we're not hearing you. I could hear you because of where you're calling from, but we're not hearing you coming through the lines, and we are wide open here. So hold on one second. I'm going to put you on mute for just a moment. I'm going to take this next call coming in from area code 507. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
The question I have is,
when they talk about the second wave of rioting, protesting, now I assume that would probably be worldwide, being the virus was worldwide?
I would say definitely we will see that kind of unrest, but I'm focusing right now in this country because, again, I believe that the United States of America, like Israel, was a covenanted nation. I believe that we were a nation that knew better. And so those who know better will get more stripes, and those that deserve more but didn't have the same knowledge will have fewer stripes. So I believe that there's going to be a concentration because the idea of the globalist community is to break the United States of America so that their purposes can go forward. Now, you may have a bit different take on that, Richard, and I would accept that and would be more than happy to listen to what your thoughts are.
Well, I just assume that, you know, the shutdown is the same worldwide, and some of them are living under much more strict restrictions than what we are. because in many places, like the one country, you only could have one person driving in a car. You couldn't even have two. You know, and if you was outside, you got arrested. So that's why I assume they'll probably protest just like over here with what's going on in some of the countries.
Well, I agree with that. I believe we're going to see that. And we've seen it before. No doubt we'll see it again.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Richard, that's it. Very good. Want to appreciate that call. Let me try getting Patricia Joy back on the line here. Patricia, can you hear me?
I could hear you. Could you hear me?
There you are. Yeah, we hear you loud and clear. So go ahead and share your thoughts.
The reason I am so excited is because it's always been a desire of my heart to be in absolute peace and patience with the things that are coming upon the earth in these end days. And what scripture came in mind, besides the wonderful scriptures you brought up, is by your patience you possess your souls. Now, I can translate that in the New American Standard. It says, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. And those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So we have a promise that by moving in the peace of God and the promise of God that you have brought up, we will not only keep our souls in absolute, we will possess them, and we will be able to endure to the end. Is that not an incredible way to go, rather than in turmoil, rather than in the work of destruction against ourselves and others? What a wonderful ministry this is, and it needs to be heard because we're getting closer and closer to violence. So I praise God for the word that went out today.
Well, amen to that, Patricia Joy. And here's the awesome thing, as you know, I look at this. There are two systems. There's the system of the world, and there is the system of God. And the systems of God, the economy of God, the health, the protection, you know, all the things that God promises to his people, there it is. There's the kingdom. And when we begin to reveal to people how to begin to access and operate within the kingdom of heaven, you know, people have a difficult time transitioning. And yet we have to begin to recognize that God took Israel out of Egypt, where their provision was at one time, into the wilderness, where there were no banking systems, there were no hospitals, there were no insurance agencies. And yet God took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness, and it was only their own rebellion and desire to go back to Egypt that got them in trouble. So God has a system. He gave them water out of a rock. He gave them food from heaven. I mean, he took care of them. Nobody's shoes wore out in 40 years. So God's people today need to know that their God has a system. And he calls us into it. And what is it? Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Talks about offerings. He talks about tithes. He talks about how to trust him for all things. And yet God's people are unsure. They seem to stand in the middle. And they have one foot in the world because they're trusting that system. And then maybe one foot on Sunday morning to trust that system. You have to learn how to operate in the system of God in this hour, especially knowing and understanding that the systems of the world are going to collapse. Patricia Joy, your thoughts.
Those that are unsure, clearly, in Habakkuk 3:16, and listen to the words of this scripture. I have heard and trembled with my lips, quivered at the sound. Decay entered my bones. I trembled where I stood. Yet I must wait patiently for the day of distress to come upon the people who invade us. This is what happens to an individual, what I just read. Sickness and disease will grab hold, and sorrow will take a place of death within us if we don't adhere to what is being said. Now, most have in this country, not all over the world, but in this country, most churches is taught that we would be out of here. Body of Christ, I'm sorry to say we will not. but yet not sorry, because it is going to cloak us with the righteousness and whiteness of purification of our God. But those who are not listening, this is what will take place in Habakkuk 3:16. Our bones will literally enter into decay. And this is the truth of his word. It's happened before, it'll happen again. But we're in a time like no other time. So how much more should we listen to the provocation, to the word that says endure, be patient, and keep your soul?
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. It's fearful times coming upon the earth, men's hearts failing them for fear of what they see coming. But you don't have to be there. You and I do not have to live in an environment of fear and worry and stress. How does that happen? Only one way. You have to be born again. You have to have had inception take place in your life. What is that inception? It's when the good soil of your heart received the seed. Remember Galatians chapter 3. The promised seed is Christ. When that promised seed is planted in your heart, the potential for that very life to grow and manifest in you is there. It requires watering it, tending to it, like you would a plant in a garden. It requires prayer and Bible study and Christian fellowship. It requires fasting at times. It's a development of that seed in your life. I'm sensing right now that there are people that are already beginning to panic. I'm sensing that there's something rising in the spiritual atmosphere of a it's kind of an ugly spirit, really, of contention with the words of God. There's a contention. And normally when the words of God are presented, the righteous love the word of God. But those who are wicked or are lukewarm or are compromised or just plain ungodly, they contend with the word of God. That's why you'll speak this word in San Francisco, for example. You'll speak the righteous word of God. And what will happen? You'll have this wave of discontent coming at you. And so the word of the Lord is going forth, the prophetic word of God. The Spirit is giving life to it. You're going to see it with your eyes. You're living in a context, part of it right now. And yet I sense that people are beginning to get afraid already. And I'm going to ask you, if you are going to become angry and obstinate and rebellious and contentious, you're only setting yourself up for disaster. And what you need to do is learn some humility and learn how to go low and hear the word of God and search out the matter. Don't be too quick to reply to what you're hearing. Search it out. God really does love you. And the Bible that I read is telling me that God doesn't have a desire for anybody to perish. It's not his will. And yet, it's almost a foregone conclusion that there are those that will refuse to repent and to confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of their lives, who will begin the journey of exploration in the Word of God and to live out the greatest adventure on this earth that one could ever live. To be a Christian in the year 2020 could be the most exhilarating adventure that anybody would know. Why God's people get into a mindset of intrepidation and fear and consternation and worry and stress and they get that unnerved thing going on, I don't know. Man, if you are in Christ, if you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, nothing else matters. And God would call you to a divine rest. He would grant unto you a divine peace. And in that environment, man, people willingly lay their lives down for Jesus. When you've given up your life and you're not trying to save yourself, but you're doing what the Word of God tells you to do, like prepare your ark and stock it with food and water and provisions, well, God says he's going to bless your food and water and your provisions. He's going to keep sickness and disease away from you. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm going back, and I was a child during World War II, and people today don't understand what some of the people did and had to go through in the past. And so I'm trying to say, have encouragement, even though you are supposedly being limited, because back then we had rationing, a certain amount of sugar, certain amount of gas, certain amount of things like that. And the churches stayed open. The people prayed, and we came through World War II. As far as us coming through this, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm just going to say that we as Christians need to pray for our country, for our leaders, and for our health and for God's protection. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, very good. And I appreciate that comment. And I need to respond personally to that comment. And, you know, it's just the truth. It's, you know, the particular journey that we're on. Back in 2003, God told me that this United States of America has crossed the point of no return. And he said, do not pray for this nation. Rather, pray for the saints of God that are within this nation, that they will be able to navigate through the storm that is coming. That was in 2003. I didn't win friends and influence people with that one because everybody's praying for this nation. But I found in three places in the Word of God where Jesus did not pray for the world. He prayed for his own in John 17. Twice the prophet Jeremiah was told, do not pray for the nation, which was Israel. So the word that I heard by the Spirit was confirmed in the Word of God. And so my prayer is for God's people to be able to endure and to be navigated through the times that are coming upon this earth. The inevitable destruction of the United States of America is at hand. The inevitable collapse of a nation that started a fight with God is at hand. And yes, we should preach righteousness and declare the word of the Lord and win as many souls as possible. But my prayers are for the believing ecclesia, the church in the United States of America. So, you know, it's been kind of a rough ride, quite frankly, because there have been prayer meetings all over the country praying for America, praying for America. And yet we don't see America healed. We're still murdering innocent babies. We're still marrying men and men and women and women. We're still invading homes all over this nation with pornography and rated R movies from Hollywood. We are still hearing blasphemy in programs, and we're seeing wretched corruption. And thank God some of it's being exposed. But you notice when Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island was exposed, immediately it's been covered up. Kill the guy because there's other people that didn't want his information out, whoever those high-powered people are, and it's swept under the carpet. And yet that was going on for years within our nation, but nobody knows. And because you sweep it under the carpet and you don't deal with it and bring out the real light, it's going to produce seeds of unrighteousness again. So God cannot bless the United States of America in its current condition. If I were to pray anything, it would be praying that this United States, from the White House to every little house in this country, would be broken and confess and repent and declare the reasons why we're under judgment, not just trying to get through the storm and start up the economy again and send people back to work again with nothing changed in the immorality that is going on within our nation. That doesn't make biblical sense. That is not spiritual sense. That is Adam saying, and a lukewarm church saying, hey, let's get through the crisis so we can get back to work, so we can go back to our idolatry and worshiping sports and athletes and doing all that we used to do, even though we're corrupt. No, 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 no. That's not accurate. That's not intelligent. That's not smart. And biblically, you need to understand that God has tools, weapons of his indignation that he will allow to come into a nation like ours who has broken covenant with him and knows better to bring it low. And he's going to do that, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to do that. And whether people like it or not, whether you like to hear it or not, whether you're angry about it or not, you still have to speak the truth. However, going back to the beginning of our broadcast today, you don't have to be a part of that environment. That's why he says, come out of Babylon, lest you become a partaker of her plagues and her sins. If you are a person that's coming out of Babylon into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which Colossians 1:13 says that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So let the translation be complete emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, so that you could live on this earth, which belongs to the Lord, in the environment of the kingdom of heaven, like the Israelis did in the wilderness, where all their needs were met, and they moved on in the eternal purpose of God. The only problem was their rebellious, stubborn hearts. Let us not be rebellious and stubborn like them and keep looking to Babylon. You know, if you have been preparing yourself for this collapse that's right now, and you had been honoring God and tithes and offerings and giving unto the Lord and honoring his kingdom system, you wouldn't be needing Babylon to reopen so the economy could be go again. That's not your reality. You have found that God takes care of you regardless of what the world is doing because you've honored him. It's only those who do not know the system of the kingdom that are going to find themselves needing Babylon to take care of them. Well, I like what's happening over here. Hey, still waiting for your call. I like this. Take your seat for the greatest show on earth. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I totally agree with that. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We want the king to come. And we know that he can't come until the Antichrist is fully revealed first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's no secret pre-trib rapture. Does anybody out there want to have a full-blown Bible study? I'll do it tomorrow. If one person out there doesn't understand that there is no pre-tribulational rapture escape from this moment, if you would like me to have a full-blown biblical laying forth about how this works in the last days, I've done it so many times, I just assume so many people already know it. But if there's one person that wants me to go into the end time, no pre-trib rapture proven in scripture, I will do it. Because we need to be fully aware that that's not the answer. A pre-tribulational rapture is not the answer for the church. Either the untold multitude are going into the great tribulation and the remnant is not, but there is no pre-trib rapture. All right, so we have one that is saying that would be good, Pastor, because many still don't get it. So I will tomorrow. I will go to Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 2 Thessalonians 2. We'll go to the book of Revelation, where the goofiest statements have been made that the church is not in the world after Revelation 4 and when John was zapped up into heaven. That was the church's rapture. That's not true. That's not true. When people say 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's the rapture, the pre-trib rapture. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with the pre-trib rapture. That's all about the resurrection. And the resurrection always takes place first in 1 Thessalonians 4. If you're standing on the foundation of 1 Thessalonians 4 to build up a case for a pre-trib rapture, we're going to blow that out of the water tomorrow with the word of God. And why do we want to do this? Because if you're thinking, well, I don't need to prepare because there's a pre-trib rapture coming, you're going to get caught in the snare. You're going to go through some really rough times, and we don't want that to happen. I believe we have another call coming in here. I'm not sure if we do or not. Let me refer to Patricia Joy just for a moment. Patricia, was there anything else you'd like to share before we get rolling here today?
Yes. One more scripture that is very exciting to me is in Romans 2:7, which says, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life under those circumstances. The circumstances must be understood for the times we're in, and always this word has been for over 2,000 years. It must be understood what that perseverance is. And you explained it very well today. And I think we need to get more and more involved with that for those who understand that we are going through, but we will be in that moment in time taken care of beautifully by our Lord Jesus Christ in the wonderful, wonderful way Israel was when the perseverance, when the outbreak, all the plagues and all of destruction happened in Egypt, and they were so beautifully taken care of. It's no different. It's a type and shadow for today.
Amen. Amen to that, Patricia. Yeah, I would encourage anybody that tuned in a little bit late today to go back to the first 30 minutes of this broadcast listen to the first 30 minutes. I think it will equip you. I believe it's godly instruction, and I believe it will save your soul and save your life. The Word of God, that is going to do that on your behalf because you follow His instructions and you honor the Lord. Okay, we are waiting for any more phone calls that would be coming in this morning. We have about 16 minutes left in the broadcast. Now, let me ask you this question. You and I, we want to make sure that we are walking in the integrity of the gospel. Would you agree with that? We walk in integrity. You are working out your salvation with fear and trembling. I am working out my salvation with fear and trembling. We need to be careful about the conduct of our hearts, because that's going to determine a lot of different things. And may the Holy Spirit of God help you and I to continue to get cleaned up before the Lord. I have to take some responsibility on this radio broadcast. We've been broadcasting over 20 years and in different radio and television scenarios. And now the last coming up on 3 years on omegaradio.org. And if you've never been to omegaradio.org, you should go there, because 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, incredible conversations with a lot of incredible people bringing their messages for the times that we are in. And we're going to keep that going. But every once in a while, we allow things to enter in that could subtly contradict the direction of our ministry and where we want to be. Recently, I had a gentleman on this radio broadcast, a dear friend of mine, and I noticed in some of his conversations, he was launching the F word. And I just want to say to you, brother, if that's you, you know, that's leaven in your life. That is leaven in your soul. For you to speak about God in any way and then start launching the F word where people can publicly see what you're doing, you will never again be invited onto this radio broadcast. I don't care how much knowledge, information, revelation you claim to have. You will never be available to be on this broadcast again. And I encourage you to confess what you have done and repent for that filthy language coming out of your mouth, because that's the leaven that's going to spoil the whole loaf in your life. And I'm saying that as a friend, and I'm saying that even as a brother to another brother, that needs to go out of your soul. And if you think that's some kind of bravado or some kind of, you know, righteous anger, no, it's not. Let no filthy communication come out of your mouth, especially when it comes to people listening to what you have to say. It should not even be there for us. And so the responsibility I'm taking is saying this, and you will never again be on this broadcast until there's a fruit of repentance. And that's all there is to it. And I'm going to leave it there for now. But every one of us, we're not being holier than thou. We're not being self-righteous. We need to be absolutely watchmen over the tower of our own lives. We need to make sure that what's going on the inside of us is righteousness. And I know that we are living in a satanically charged environment already, and there's a lot of spiritual warfare coming out against the saints of God. And it's coming out in every direction at different times. But I do believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome and get the victory and to have no place. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. And when we allow our flesh to have its way, we're giving place to the devil. And that won't only undermine our walk with God, but it will also infect other people in the body of Christ, even if you're doing it secretly behind the scenes. So I'm telling you, this is a time to get really, really cleaned up before the Lord. Get really cleaned up before the Lord. It is so important to do that. That's right. So I'm not seeing any other calls here. I want to go back to area code 605 and ask Ken if he had anything further he'd like to ask. Ken, was there any other comments you wanted to make?
Hello?
Yes, Kathy. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, now it's me. Oh, yeah, I was wondering about this in 2 Timothy, you know, in the 3rd chapter, it talks about the last days are being foretold by Paul the Apostle. And then he said, this know also that in the last days there will be these perilous times, and men will be lovers of their own selves and covetousness. Now, this covetousness, is that connected then with this loving yourself, and it's all for self, self, self? And, you know, another thing in the churches, too, I noticed through the years, now, they always talk about the love of God, but they haven't said that God is angry at sin. He's a holy God, and he will not tolerate. So there's got to be a change, unless, like you said, it's to God's the remnant. It's so that we just stay true to the end now. I mean, maybe the line is drawn all the way through from the church and down. I don't know. It seems to be a lot of confusion out there. I'll just listen to hear what you say.
Well, I'm really wanting to listen to what everybody else has to say at this point. And this radio program was designed for the voice of many waters. And, you know, it there's in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. And what I have presented today, and again, if you didn't hear the first 30 minutes, you could get an imbalanced perspective about what was being said. And there was a reason why we said what we said, but you need to hear those first 30 minutes particularly. But we want to hear from the body of Christ. Maybe there's a revelation that God has put in your heart. Maybe there's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Maybe there's a prayer for the saints of God for healing and restoration. We believe in miracles, signs, and wonders that come from the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we believe in the full gospel of Yeshua. I like what one of our friends just said, that this reminds her of the days of awe. And it really is, in a sense. We're in the days of unleavened bread. Get the leaven out of your life so it doesn't crowd out the glory of Christ. We are expecting God's people to experience a harvest in their personal growth, in their inwardness, their understanding, their wisdom, their knowledge that far surpasses gold, silver, and rubies. We are expecting the people of God to experience their needs being met according to God's riches and glory, that God will thrill your heart because you crave the presence of God. And, you know, the presence of the Lord is everything, and that's what we are after ultimately. And it doesn't really matter beyond that if you're in the presence of God, but we're waiting to hear your voice. We've got a friend out here, Sarah from Washington. What an amazing story that is. And I've heard of a lot of other stories, but my constant in that has always been a blessing. And to Pastor Gary, I think it is out in Washington, send my blessings to Sarah and her family, and God bless them. And yes, things that they have spoken of years ago are beginning to manifest everywhere, and it's probably going to come to fruition before our very eyes, before this thing is over. So again, we're waiting for your call. Here's what you do, 818-369-0326. May I encourage you to believe with me that if you will confess your sin, you've done something you don't feel good about, take it to the Lord and believe that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if you don't do that speedily, what will happen is the adversary will take a deeper place in your soul. He'll set up some snare for a future date. Spit that stuff out. Get rid of guilt, shame, and condemnation. Have a free spirit before the Lord to honor him and do whatever he wants you to do and go wherever he wants you to go. Spit out the poison of satanic condemnation. It's not what this conversation is about at all. Lashki Singh, he says, Muslims are bad in India. Muslims are bad in the future. You're right. And again, this is from Laksha Singh, all the way from India. And so, again, the church is in India. The ecclesia of God is in India. It's in China. It's all over the world. So, Laksha Singh, we pray for the Christians in India that they will possess their soul through their patience as well, that there won't be a backlash. They won't go out in a premature battle, but they will go low and they will be hidden in Christ. And I know there's been a lot of persecution in India. So we have that coming from Laksha Singh. And thank you, Laksha Singh, that you're tuning in all the way from India. We're having people from the Philippines. We're having people from Pakistan, all over the world. This ministry that God built is beginning to see the fruits of what he has intended. Why? Because what we do is we just keep on keeping on. We keep on going. We keep on enduring. We just keep on doing. And what we desire, can I tell you my heart? Here's what we desire, and we need your prayer for this. Outside our window in our kitchen, there's a little balcony, and there's a bird feeder. And every day, we have the privilege to watch all the Blue Jays and the Red Cardinals come to the bird feeder. And about a week ago, the Lord said, if you feed them good food, they will keep coming back. And the admonition of the Lord to my wife and I for years has been, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. We are here to feed the flock of God, and we want to make sure that we're doing that accurately and it's being done well. And we do want to give the best food, and we believe the best food is the Word of God. Unadulterated, unmixed, not with our opinions, just the Word of God through inspiration of the Holy Spirit and interpretation of the Holy Spirit. Lakshya Singh once again said, it's awesome without Allah. And I agree. It is awesome. All right. I'm not seeing any other calls coming in. That number would be 818-369-0326. It is Thursday. We're getting ready to go on out there. Hey, Anna Batinga. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. I don't know where you're from, Anna, but we sure do welcome your alleluias to this radio broadcast. Praise the Lord. Anna, tell me where you're from. Anna Batinga, where are you calling in from? I like this. What is Sonia saying? Calling 818-369-0326 and just listening. You need to press 1 on the dial pad, Sonia. We'd love to hear from you. Make sure you press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll bring you back into this conversation. We've got about 5 minutes left in the program. The number again, 818-369-0326. And the lines are open. You should be able to get through. There you are. I got a 281. Let's see if that is Sonia. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast, Sonia. Is that you?
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear. God bless you.
Good. Well, as you know, I'm pretty new to following your show, but I just really wanted to call and tell you how much I am enjoying it. And I believe that God is definitely, definitely using you and your wife, and you are feeding the flock. So God bless you. Continue what you're doing. Totally enjoying everything. And really, I had no questions. Just wanted to say thank you. And I hope that everyone else is enjoying the calls as much as I am. So thank you.
What a blessing. Sonia, thank you so much. We appreciate that. That's a real thumbs up. And with Anna Batinga, she's saying she's calling in from the Philippines. So Anna Batinga, shalom to you in the Philippines. Thank you, Sonia, for that precious message you just gave on the air. And again, the number to call, 818-369-0326. You just have to press 1 on your dial pad. So Anna Batinga, the Philippines, Laksha from India, and everybody else out there. Listen, maybe you're going to call into the program at 818-369-0326, press 1 on the dial pad, and maybe you have a word for somebody that's listening out there that just needs to hear the wisdom of God. But unfortunately, we've come to the end of our broadcast. Time has run down. Tomorrow, we're going to go into a full-blown Bible study on the pre-trib rapture, the rapture doctrine. We're going to do it. And if you know somebody that believes in the pre-trib rapture, we will be very kind in our introducing the truth. Just some doctrine that has been, you know, put out there for people to believe in. And most of the time, the people that believe, they don't have biblical scriptural references on their own. They just believe what their pastor told them. And because their pastor is a big name, it must be true. Listen, the very elect of God can be deceived. We only want to talk about the pre-trib rapture tomorrow because it's important so people will be prepared spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally for the day. With that said, I'm going to encourage you right now, go to www.omegaradio.org. That's omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion on deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It's conducted by my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. You won't be disappointed. You'll hear a lot of wisdom at that roundtable discussion. It's been going on for over 30 some odd years. You're going to get a lot of wisdom, I guarantee it, for your life. And maybe you need prayer. And there is a intercessory prayer team that will be praying for you as well. There's a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Maybe you'll want that as well. So with all that being said, God bless you. And again, those of you who gave your Passover offerings to this ministry, we are honored. We will not cease to pray for you that the blessings of Exodus 23 and beyond will be taking place in your life, because we are in a better company. And that is the truth. That's it for me today. God bless everybody. Shalom. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. And for everybody on the Blog Talk Radio, we're going to say goodbye for now. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.